Hey, y'all, and welcome back to Surviving Me. I'm your host, Day. Some people learn resilience, and then some people are forced to live it. Imagine navigating life with a chronic illness since childhood, facing not one, but three organ transplants, and choosing to build, lead, and show up anyway. Today's episode isn't just about survival. It's about what happens when quitting was never an option. And today, we have a powerful guest named Ty. Ty, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dan. I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited to visit with your audience. So, like you said, Ty Gibson, it's an honor to share. My hope is through all this that we can just connect with one or two people, and then it's worth every bit of the time.
Yes, I love that. That's literally what I say all the time. So, Good. Before we jump into it, so Ty's story is one of resilience in its rawest form. Living with type 1 diabetes since childhood and going through multiple organ transplants, he had to navigate life in ways most people can't even imagine. But beyond survival, he's built businesses, led with purpose, and developed what he's called a no-option mindset, which I am here for and I cannot wait to get into. And today we're getting into all of that. So jumping right into segment one, which is the wound. So let's start at the beginning. What was it like being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at such a young age?
Diabetes has always been as a young child, I knew nothing about, right? I mean, and most things we don't know about until we have to deal with them, right? It's one of those things. I mean, living with diabetes has always been, like I said, never heard of it. But I mean, once I was diagnosed with it, somebody told me, and I had no idea what that meant, right? Yeah. I mean, but as we all do in things in life, you just, you know, kind of figure it out and kind of get through it. But when I was told, my first question was, what is diabetes? And it was very eye-opening. And I really just was listening until they told me, oh, you got to take insulin injections every day. And I'm like, whoa. What do you mean injections every day? And that's when my parents were explaining to me, you know, hey, this is how what happens when your pancreas is not producing insulin. And so we're going to have to take them through these shots. And really, that's when my curiosity really hit the ceiling, because I was just, I got nervous. I mean, as an 8-year-old kid, thinking that I was going to have to start taking shots was my biggest fear.
Would you say that at that point, that's when you realized your life was going to look different for you from other kids?
You know, at that point, I really didn't. At 8, it's hard to grasp, really. Yeah. It really is. But I didn't realize it was going to look that much different. I thought, you know, I really, in my mind, I wasn't sure that this just wasn't a temporary thing, right? I mean, I'm going to get through it and everything was going to be fine. It wasn't after when I realized this is not a temporary challenge. This is going to be something that I deal with for a long time.
Yeah. can only imagine it. So how did your condition affect you mentally growing up?
Well, you know, again, kind of young age, I didn't grasp it as well as I did later. But when I was, I tell you, after, and I don't know exactly what age it was, Dave, but it was probably, you know, in that early teenage years and maybe a little earlier. But I started realizing all I was trying to, I just wanted to be like everybody else.
Yeah.
And when I say that, what I was trying to, what I mean by that really was, I was going to these birthday parties and these fun things and have all these cakes and cupcakes and all this good looking stuff, right? And I could never have that.
Yeah.
And so that was always, that was hard for me at a younger age. But then as you get older, you start, you know, really the thing doesn't change as you get older. You still want to be like everybody else, but just what you're dealing with is a little bit different.
Yeah. I guess what comes with maturity, of course, that mm-hmm. is, and you a kid and you see mm-hmm. cookies and cakes and you like, I'm a kid. I want that because all other kids are eating that.
That's
course,
right.
You know, then, as you get older.
Why not me?
Yeah, I could only imagine it. So if we jump into segment two, which is the reckoning and getting into the hardest moments, there are moments in life that changes everything for everybody. But can you walk us through the time in your life when things felt the most uncertain or heavy per se?
Well, there was a couple of times throughout my life, right? I mean, when I was 10, I had gone through such brittle diabetes, they bring me over to the specialist. And keep in mind, hey, this was in the 70s, right? So this was a long time ago when I was a little kid and the technology was not there. It was really hard because what they were telling me is that they've got this thing, they're putting on chemotherapy patients that they're going to put insulin in, and they're going to start to put it on diabetics, put insulin in it and start letting diabetics try this out. And we're going to try to regulate your blood sugars. Well, And that was early on phases when the insulin pump started really kind of coming to its own, right?
Yeah.
Insulin pumps have been around for a long time, but not to this where they were really starting to get mainstream. So in the 70s, they started kind of playing with these things. And then when the technology world started getting stronger, each year the pumps would change. And so over time, but that was really hard because now not only was I felt different because mm-hmm. I couldn't do all that stuff, I looked different because my first pump was a pound, 9 ounces. I had this big box on my side.
Really? Like you had to walk around with it?
I had to walk around with this box on my side. And I'm very thankful for it because my parents, they never let me like it was anything, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's just like, hey, it's part of it. My dad was a little, at the time, I thought was being really harsh. But what I, and this is something I always try to teaching moment here, is what I didn't realize, like whatever we're going through, some of our biggest challenges, all, it's really not challenges, it's preparing us for what's the road ahead.
Mm.
And so what I didn't realize is that he was pushed telling me not to, you know, nobody wants to hear my problem. Push through, Ty. You're going to be fine. You got the, we got the best doctors. But I thought it was kind of being hard. But what it was doing, he didn't let me, play any kind of poor, pitiful me card at all.
No, so the victim card was just not in the...
No, that was not even in the deck, right? And he wouldn't allow it. So all of that said, that was a really hard time. That was probably the first time, is when I was going through the insulin pump and all that. But then, again, when I turned 30... Because my story's kind of long, Dan, I apologize. But okay. When I turned 30, though, after I'd gotten through college and I'd gone through all these different times, challenging times through my life, I got 30 and I went in because I was feeling really tired and all this. And I couldn't find out my kidneys had failed.
Wow.
And so now they're going, okay, Ty, we're going to have it looks like you're going to need a kidney transplant. And I'm like, what does that mean? Anyway, come to find out, they said, hey, there's a doctor in Baltimore, Maryland, that's doing research. I was kind of on this research study again. This transplant, they're doing kidneys and pancreas at the same time. Because they said, if you got such brittle diabetes, though, that it would just keep, you'd just keep going through kidneys if we just do the kidneys.
Right.
So we go over there, and that was really hard because here's why. They had only had 4 of these surgeries, and 2 of them were successful.
Ooh.
So... with a 50-50 shot, right? I mean, you get a little nervous. Got me a little concerned that with that kind of success rate, what am I doing? Because here's the thing. Here was the kicker. And this is why it was so hard. I had a 6-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was leaving, I was having to make a decision. Am I going to have this surgery? Because I don't know what I'm coming back to, right? I mean, am I going to come back and what shape am I going to be in? I mean, and again, then like this, like I said, am I even coming back? And so that was really hard. But I knew this. I didn't really have an option because I couldn't be there for her anyway if I was stuck on dialysis for the rest of my life.
That's true.
So I made the choice to take the surgery. And I went in it going, man, this is going to be the best thing that I ever did. So I really tried to work hard on this positivity and this mindset and just trying to push through. But I will tell you, that was one of the harder things, too.
Well, I can only imagine, especially if you're looking at it from a parent aspect. And every parent, that's our main goal, is to be there for our kids at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And most parents, I'm pretty sure every parent wants to go before any of our kids. We want to die and go first, of course, but... if we can be there for as long as we can be there, we want to be there. So if you say your daughter's only was 6 at the time, I can only imagine mm-hmm. going into the scary surgery and it's not that high of success rates, as you said, only 2 right. of them were successful. I think anybody right. will go in it like, you know what? It's a 50-50 chance, but I'm a hope for the better. Like, seriously.
Right.
I love that. So was that the time you went through 3 transplants at the same time?
No, what it was a kidney pancreas at that time.
Okay.
And then later in life, I had the, I got another kidney.
Got it. So what did going through those 3 transplants do to you mentally and emotionally?
It was really hard. Again, that after that first transplant, and I received my mother's kidney.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, so that was really cool. I received my mother's kidney. To get a pancreas, it has to be someone that has donated their organs. So, unfortunately, somebody has to pass for me to receive that. So, I received someone else's pancreas, which was always, that's always a really hard thing for me, because I always think, man, somebody to lose their life, right?
Yeah.
And there was a tragic situation that happened for me to receive that. It was really hard for me to kind of mentally think about that, because it was just a hard time to get through all that. Because again, I was so hung up on this. Someone has to pass away for that, right?
Yeah.
And so I struggled. I say that because that took a lot more time than I really thought for me. I mean, that was a mental challenge. Talking to the doctors, they kind of helped walk me through that, right? About organ donation. And it's an absolute gift to receive those organs. And so I really got through that. And once I received the organs, that first year was absolutely challenging. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Well, and they told me, Ty, get ready for the first year. Think about it, right? You get two new organs in your body. So your body's naturally trying to say, hey, what's going on here? Right. And then I was on 65 pills a day.
Oh, wow.
Trying to work through that. So your body's just kind of in a state of shock, really. And then over time, that started to wing off. But part of all that was just, I mean, there was a lot of psychological things I had to really deal with. I mean, and they did. They put you through a psychological test to be able to take, to even go through this surgery. Because there's a lot behind all that.
I can imagine, though. I truly can imagine. I never did. Never went through anything like that. But just hearing, like, the process, I mean, logically, from a logical standpoint, it makes sense of why that would be hard. First off, you're getting, in a sense, foreign objects because they're not yours. They're somebody else's, placed into your body. So naturally, your body is just going to be like, oh my God, these are foreign objects. So it could either go one way. They could either accept it or they could try to fight against it. You just never know which way it's going to go when something foreign gets put into your body. Even though it's supposed to be there, they wasn't there from the get-go because they wasn't yours. So naturally, your body is just going to go through its own little process in itself. So that's one thing. And then I can only imagine how mentally that would be another thing for you, because they say, I don't know if you heard this, but I've been told that when you either lose something, like when you have to get something taken out your body, or when you gain something, it just, you go through like this depression in a sense.
Oh gosh, yeah for sure. I mean, and that was one of the things I really wasn't, I guess, prepared for. And I don't know really how you prepare for it, but it was definitely something that was wasn't quite ready for. But we got through it. But after that year, they told me, they said it's going to take about a year. And then after that year, things should be, if we can get to the year, we're in a good spot. And we got to the year, and I'll tell you, within like days of that year, I felt better. It was amazing. Yeah. But I'll tell you, this is always a time I really like to talk about it, because of somebody made that decision to be an organ donor. It's been an absolute gift of life to me, for, you know, literally, because it saved my life, and no telling however many other people were able to receive organs from that person. But I always say, because of that, you know, I've been able to live life. And whatever we're dealing with, we're all dealing with something every day. I mean, I've had some adversities today, right? I mean, we deal with it every day. But I always tell people, whatever you're dealing with, whatever we're going through, just remember this. Whatever's on the other side is the light. There's always some amazing things waiting for you on the other side of that adversity. And we wouldn't grow if we didn't go through adversity.
Exactly. And I know that organ donation can get a bad rep, but I just want to touch on this for all the listeners listening. I support organ donation 100% because, as you can hear, it's stories like Ty that you can legit help save a life. I don't know why. I know a lot of people look at organ donating as a negative thing, because it's like people be like, oh, once you say that you're going to be an organ donor, you believe that the hospital will not save your life. I feel like that is the worst way to look at it. Because like he said, organ donation is out here saving people's lives and giving people another chance to live a better life. And I'm a strong believer in everything happens for a reason. And I'm also a strong believer in when it is your time, it is your time. There is nothing you can do about it when it is your time to go. And everybody know we all have our day. So, and some people days come earlier than others, unfortunately. But if they can have the opportunity to save another life, why not do it? So that's just my little message for anybody who is against organ donation, just to give you a different perspective to look at it.
Well, thank you for that plug. That is awesome.
Of course. So was there moments during that first year, did you feel tired of fighting?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, there were days that I would sit in there, you know, and just wonder, am I really going to get through this? I mean,
yeah.
Because, I mean, there were days it got really questionable whether I was going to get through the day, right? There were days that we weren't sure that I was going to make it, you know? So, yeah, you know, there were days I questioned my decision just because I was feeling so bad and things like that. So, yeah, you start wondering sometimes that I make the right decision. But I will tell you, it was an absolute best thing I ever did in my life.
I love that. I love that. I love stories of resilience. I'm here for all of that.
Yeah.
So if we get into segment three, which is the work, because surviving something like that changes how you think. So You talk about a no option mindset. What does that actually mean to you?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'll tell you, on the other side of adversity, there's a light. No matter what that wall, how high that wall is today that we're looking at, it's worth the climb, right? And a lot of times people, hey, you got to have the positive mindset, positive. When you're in the ditches and when you're looking at that wall, somebody saying being positive is the last thing you want to hear.
No, for real.
Because really, what does that mean?
Right.
I mean, honestly, you know, when we're in the ditches and we're trying to struggle whether we're going to make it or not, and somebody says, well, think positive. You know, that's when you want to throw something, right? People were asking me, so Ty, how did you get through this? And I really started just kind of analyzing my time through it and started looking at things. And here's what it was. I'm a true believer in the small bites add up, right? We don't need to do it all in one day. I mean, we don't, you know, you think about life. We don't go to the gym and come back and be in shape today, you know, one time, right? We don't decide to go on a diet and tomorrow we've lost all the weight. I mean, it's life, right? It's everything takes some work. I started thinking about it and I said, you know, the first number one step when I needed small bites. I mean, I tell people all the time, I can't think that big. I need something to kind of break this down. So I said, number one is I asked the question, and I still use it. I've got pictures. I've got little notes around my house that just remind me. And number one is grow or die. I asked myself, am I going to grow or die in this situation? Am I going to let this thing beat me? And when I say die, I don't mean death. I mean, am I going to let my dreams go? Am I going to let my purpose go? Am I going to let that, what I was fighting for, go?
Yes.
You know, so I asked that simple question. Am I going to let this thing win? And it doesn't matter if whatever it is, right? It could be a simple little adversity day, but I mean, don't let it get the best of you, you know?
Yes.
And so I say, number one, grow or die. And that's what we do. Grow or die is what we do. Number two is hope or despair. And when I say despair, am I going to throw the victim card out there, right? Why did I have diabetes? Why am I the one that got picked to have three transplants? You know, why? You know what? Whatever the reason is, I got it.
Right.
Right? Whatever that looks like, I got it. But I'm not going to sit there and dwell on it. I'm going to figure out, I'm going to find the positive. Instead of me taking 65 pills a day today, guess what? I only take 35.
Okay.
Thought about, man, I'm not on dialysis anymore. I'm getting to live a full, extreme, healthy life now.
Love that.
You know, so I mean, I'm not saying why did I have to go through all that. I'm thinking of what, now that I've gone through it, look what all I've gotten to do. But hope or despair is, and that's how we think. Number three is humor or drama. And that's how we talk, right? Because whatever we want to say, we talk to ourselves all the time. We talk to ourselves all the time.
Yes,
I mean, we're telling ourselves, you know, we can do this, or we're telling ourselves we can't. And then sometimes the humor is, you got to sometimes just laugh. Good Lord. I mean, sometimes we just go, how in the world did I get here? You know, and sometimes I truly find something just to laugh about. And it may be, people think I'm crazy sometimes because I'm laughing because I've got to take, you know, this or that, or medication or whatever. They're like, what? Y'all just bear with me. It's just me, right?
Okay.
But the thing is, I mean, you got to find it sometimes, right? You got to find the humor in whatever we're dealing with. Life's too short.
Agreed.
And so with those three, Dave, what I'm, grow or die is what we do. Hope or despair is how we think. Humor and drama is how we talk. And if we do those three things, because those are all pretty easy things to take. And I say easy, those are things we can handle. And when we handle those things, it automatically shifts our mind to be a positive thinker.
Yes.
And that's what I call the no options mindset. Just take the small steps. I love the story about getting 1% better every day. And you think about it, in a week, I'm 7% better. In 2 weeks, I'm 14% better. Are you kidding me? And that was simply by doing little things.
I like that mindset. I never heard that perspective, but
Yes, there's a story out there about a national cyclist team coach who came to the team and he said, I'm going to become the national cyclist coach of this team. He said, we've never won a Tour de France. And he set the team down. He said, we're going to win this Tour de France in the next 5 years. And they were very hopeful. But he said, here's what we're doing. And they came back and they started putting in some different training. And they were like, okay, this is great. We're getting, training harder, getting better. And then he went and he said, all right, I'm going to buy all of you guys new pillows and sheets for your beds. And they're like, what? And he said, here's the deal. The pillows and the sheets will help you sleep better. And those are the little things. That's that 1% thing, right? Because if you sleep better, you get better rest. And if you rest better, you perform better.
Exactly.
And so then he said, and then the other thing, we're going to get different uniforms. We're going to get these better, more comfortable aerodynamic uniforms. Because if you're comfortable, you're going to perform better.
Yes.
So, and it goes back to just find the little things, right? The things that we can handle today. And do a little bit of it today and do a little bit of it tomorrow and do a little bit of it next day. And before long, you're going, oh my gosh, this is awesome.
It becomes your routine.
And it becomes a habit, and a habit becomes success.
I love that. So how did you develop this mindset through everything that you was facing? Was it just like a epiphany type thing, or did it take work?
I sat down with my family. Yeah. And my wife, and I was like, y'all, let's talk through this. And they were, we all kind of, this is where they realized they were kind of telling me some of the things I did and some of the things. And this is, you know, when we really brought it down, this is what I would do.
Got it. Oh, I like that. So your family was involved in you coming to this mindset. I love that. Love family. Yeah. Family is very important. So
for sure.
What did you have to let go of mentally or emotionally to become stronger?
Well, mentally, what we've got to realize, a lot of times the things that we think are the best for us could be the ideal thing that's really holding us back.
No, for real.
Sometimes we think we've got to look at our environment, you know, because our environment sometimes is what's holding us back.
Yes.
In fact, I was on a call this morning with a dear friend of mine that, you know, come to find out, I mean, he's got to get out of the environment that he's in to be able to grow. His environment is what's holding him back. You know, there's also a quote out there talking about you are the sum of the five people that you surround yourself with.
Agreed.
And so I always tell people, think about that for a second. And when I did it, I was like, whoa, that's not probably good for me. But it's true. Sometimes we got to just look at it. And sometimes the hard truth is what we got to really look at and go, you know what? That's absolutely the truth. But at the end of the day, if you want to grow, sometimes these are the hard things you got to do to be able to do that.
Agreed. That was perfectly said. Yes. So if we jump into segment 4, which is the now, which is your business and your purpose. And somehow in the middle of all that, you built things. So how did you go from surviving health challenges to building successful businesses?
Well, never lost focus of my drive. I'm a designer, graphic design, marketing person by trade. I started my career out at Disney back a long time ago. And
Disney?
And wow. So I loved the marketing and the design and all this stuff, right? I went to Disney on an internship, and then I got hired and I stayed there for several years. But then I realized I really enjoy what I do, but I would rather be doing it for my own business. And so I bought a company, a sign and a printing company, because I really enjoyed that part of the business at Disney. And I came back and I opened that, and we did design work, but I always knew I wanted to get into the sports side. So with that being said, I slowly kept moving some of this stuff over to the kind of looking at the markets in the sports side of the business. So I opened a company. It's called Waterboy Graphics. And what we do is we go into colleges, high schools, professional fields, and we design the graphics that go around the stadiums or in the locker rooms.
Oh, that's intriguing.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun, and I really enjoy it. And it really took off way faster than me. But you know, thinking that I was going to kind of do this on a little bit of a smaller scale. And then about a year and a half into it, I got a call from the school that says, hey, Ty, Under Armour is going to start sponsoring high schools. And the graphics you did for us, I really like. Would you allow me to introduce you to Under Armour? I said, I don't know what they'll do. I don't know what their plan is. Anyway, so I said, absolutely. I'd love to.
Of course.
Thinking that I was going to get to do, you know, meet Under Armour and get to do their work for them as far as that one school. Well, I met with Under Armour, and Under Armour came in and said, hey, Ty, we really like what you're doing. Under Armour is going to start sponsoring these schools, but we're going to do the top 30 schools around the country every year, and we want to know if Waterboy would be interested in doing them.
Wow.
And I said, absolutely. You know, and they said, can you handle it? I said, absolutely. You know, and I left there, walked out to my vehicle, and I went, how in the world am I going to do this? I mean, after I choked for a little bit, it's sometimes you got to overcome the fear.
Yes.
You got to bet on yourself.
Yes.
Because nobody else is betting on you, right? And so I took that opportunity, and this is a funny story. A week later, I'm in, Under Armour's calling, hey, can you come out to here? It was in Seattle. I was out in Seattle, and I was measuring, you know, talking to these schools and what we could do and this and that and getting ready for a job. And Under Armour calls me, says, Ty, whoever your rep is in Florida, we need to get them over here to this school. Well, I call my wife. I'm like, get me a flight to Florida. I'm not coming home. I mean, we just basically had to bootstrap this thing until we could get on our feet. And I got people hired, and it took off. And so, but I say that not to say how good we did, but sometimes we got to just bet on ourselves.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And don't doubt what you can do. You gotta have confidence in what you can achieve.
Yes,
and go do it.
Yes. I love that.
And that's where I'm at today. So, a cool story. That was, that was back in 2008. Last year, I had a group come along and offered me to purchase our company. And I said, no, I still got some gas in the tank. I'm ready to go, And they came back again and made another offer. And I told my wife, I said, we might ought to think about this. And so a year ago, I sold the company. Now I still work. I still kind of run the company, but I'm not on the day-to-day operations as I was. And I'm loving it.
I bet.
But it's been amazing. And so now, with doing that, I've been able to. This is what I do now. I'll go around and public speak, and so I go around and tell my stories, and I try to encourage people. I'm just my wife laughs at me when I say this. I'm a hope dealer. You know what I'm saying? I'm a hope dealer. I just go around and give people hope. I just try to encourage people, whatever they're going through, let's get through it, right?
I love that. We need more people like that. I say that all the time. We need more kind people. We need more people who care about others. Because believe it or not, mm-hmm. in this world, there's not enough people who care, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So I'm all for that. I'm all for being a hope dealer. I never heard that term, but I like it.
Yeah. I kind of laugh when I say it. But yeah, I mean, that's what I really do. Like I said, I talk to different groups, whether it be sales teams or companies or whatever, or just athletic teams or what, you name it. I get to go around and talk and encourage people to go for their dreams, right? I mean, go for it.
I love that. So do you feel like your experiences help shape how you lead and show up in your business?
Absolutely. Yes. Because you know what? Day is, after I went through that, every day is a bonus day to me. I've already won, in my word, I've already won. And when I say won, I've been able to get through my company, but also I've got two beautiful daughters. And that was the other thing I told you earlier, I was able to, start a business, and I was able to adopt. I was able to get married after my first transplant. And then the coolest thing, and I'll tell you the coolest story, that 6-year-old girl that I had to walk away from that night, not knowing if I was going to come back. Yeah. 2 months ago, I got to walk her down the aisle.
Oh my God, that is so exciting. Congratulations.
Yes. Yeah. So it was like a dream come true for me. It was one of the best days I've ever had, besides when she was born, I think.
So would you say that your family is what keeps you going?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Sure. I mean, you got to have a why, right? Sometimes sure. it's your family, sometimes it's your friends, sometimes it's whatever that is. Find your why.
No, love that. Exactly that. Exactly that. Love yep. that. So if we jump on into the last segment of the interview, which is the message. For someone listening right now who feels like life is against them or they feel like they're battling something heavy, what would you say to someone who feels like they're constantly fighting just to stay afloat?
Life's hard. That's the other thing. I don't want to sit here and be somebody go, but he's not connected to real life, right?
Yeah.
Life is hard. I'm not gonna deny it. But you know what? It's worth the fight. And so I just encourage, find that small step. Not only find the small step, start writing down things. Like for me, I write down every day my goals for today.
Love that.
Every day, write them down. But here's the thing, take it one step further. You know, people you say, I think, go through your mind what your goals are today. Well, write them down, but then take one more step. Visualize your goals. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about I want to go win the lottery. And, you know, I mean, you know, I don't want to be a professional baseball, all this, right? Those are great. I'm talking about, like, I want to get up today and I want to make sure I connect with my two. You know, I put goals like I'm going to go have lunch with my 15-year-old daughter today.
Oh, so it's small
goals. I want to make today the best day for her. That's a goal of mine, right? I want to, you know, make my wife feel special today. That's a goal. So don't make your goals so unrealistic. Find goals that are very important. You go after those goals. Be intentional. But here's the last step of that. Celebrate the heck out of them.
Okay. Yes.
Celebrate them.
Yes.
Sometimes we get to our goals and then we just move on to the next. Stop and celebrate, man. High five them, you know, hug them. I mean, you're going to laugh. I got an office in the back of my home and I've got a speaker in here. And in the mornings, man, I crank it up. I crank up the radio because you know what? Every day is a bonus day, right? And here's the thing. Whatever situation you're in, find that small step. Celebrate the small steps. Celebrate the wins. And keep taking those steps. Because if you don't keep taking forward steps, you're going backwards. You're going to be right back where you were. Think about the little steps that you can take. And then before long, you're going to be way ahead of where you thought you could be.
I love that.
Can I tell you something, Dave? I didn't finish. I want to tell you the finishing story. You know, I talked about my transplant.
Yeah.
Well, come to find out, after I got my, you know, organs don't last forever. So right. My mother's kidney lasted for 20 years. The pancreas lasted for 12. That was in 1999. I had my first transplant. In 2019, this past, 6 years ago, keep in mind, I've adopted, I've gotten married, I've got these businesses going. Again, got just where I was so tired. I went in and sure enough, my kidneys had failed again.
Wow.
And so I go in, they put me on dialysis. And so in the 3 days a week from 4:30 to 9 in the morning, I would go in, go to dialysis, and then I'd go to the office and try to act like nothing was wrong. And I'm not saying that because look at me. I'm saying that because you got to just sometimes push through. But, and this kind of ties back to the question you just asked me, though. I would go in and I would be the person. I would try to uplift people. Hey, guys, come on. But if you remember, my dad taught me not to complain or talk about my problems. Nobody wanted to hear them, right? So I never really told anybody my story. But when I told my wife's family during that time, she asked me if I would tell the extended family. It was a family reunion. I told them. And on the way home that night, several of them called and said, hey, we're going to sign up to be organ donors. And I thought, why am I being so selfish? I'm not telling my story and I can help others. My sister was signed up to be an organ donor. And the last minute, they come to find out her kidneys weren't going to work. So my wife said, you know, I'm a different blood type, but I'm going to go in and I'm going to donate my kidney. And in return, somebody else donate theirs so that you can get moved up on the list. She said, I can't see you just keep going through this. This is hard for you to watch. Anyway, so that day comes and she goes, to get all the lab work done and she calls me, she's crying. And I'm like, what? She says, you're not going to believe this. I said, what? She says, I match you perfectly. Aww. So 6 years ago, I received my wife's kidney. Aww. And I will tell you this, I feel better today than I ever have in my life. But all of that to say, You never know what's going to happen, but it's a tough world we live out there. Let's put our arms around each other and help each other through, because you don't know the person to the right or the person to the left needs to hear your story. And I was always that guy because my dad told me, no one wants to hear my story. No one wants to hear. But let me tell you this. Everybody has a story, and you don't know if the guy next to you needs to hear it.
Yes.
I encourage people to, whatever, wherever they're at, tell their story, lock arms with people. Let's get through this. And life is an amazing place. But we don't have to go through it by ourselves.
Literally, you basically summed up what this podcast is about. That's literally the message I say every single episode. Healing is not meant to be done alone. It's not. Like, yeah. find your safe space, find your person, find your happiness or whatever, but find your place where you can, you know, let your hair down, vent, because everybody needs that space, whether it's a person, whether it's a thing, or whether it's a place, but you need it because it needs to come out. You need to let it out. Sometimes, even if you don't have a person, use a journal, whatever the case may be, it needs to come out though. But yes, that's literally the mission of this podcast, is so people could understand that you're not alone in what you go through. No. You never know. Like, I know when we go through hard things in our life, it can feel so lonely. Like, oh, I'm the only person going through this. Don't nobody know what I'm going through and all this other jazz. But until you start talking about it, until you start putting it out there, you realize that you're not as alone as you may think. Like, seriously.
That's right. That's so true. So true.
If we jump into what I call the signature question is, if this conversation were a chapter in your healing book, what would you call it?
Ooh, now you're asking hard questions. You know, I don't know. I always say, take my hand.
Was that the first thing that came to your mind when I asked
it? It is, because...
So then, yeah.
and I mean that because, take a hand. Because take somebody's hand, depending on where you believe in faith, and I'm a Christian, you can't do it alone. And I would say, let somebody walk with you through it.
I love that. I love that title, and I love the message behind it. Love that. Mm-hmm. So that pretty much wraps up this episode. Thank you so much, Ty, for coming and sharing your story and leaving my guests with gems, as I like to say, that every guest leave. I'm pretty sure your story is going to touch others, and you share some knowledge that people can pass along. And I am so thankful that you decided to come and tell your story on my podcast. I really, really, really appreciate it.
No, that's awesome. Thank you for what you're doing.
Try, spreading the love, like you said.
That's right. Well, it takes people like you doing it, and I'll tell you, Day, if there's anybody that I can help anybody, and they come and they connect with you afterwards or whatever, can I give them my website? Do you mind if I give them my website?
Of course.
It's Ty Gibson, and that's TYGIPSON. And .com, tygibson.com. But on that website has every way to get a hold of me. But I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Facebook, X, I mean, you name it. But also, I have a podcast. It's No Options with Ty Gibson, and it's on Spotify and all those things. Please go listen to it. And if I can help anybody, and I'll tell you this, on that website is a number, and that is my cell number. If anybody just needs me to, I mean, if I can help them, call me. That's what I'm here for. That's why I've committed to be. I want to help others. And if it's a phone call, or if it's something they need to talk about, or if I can help them with it, I'm there.
I love that. And that's the perfect way to wrap this on up. So if this episode spoke to anyone, make sure you're following Surviving Me on all platforms. Make sure you go and listen to Ty's podcast and follow him on all his platforms and leave a rating and a comment. It helps push these stories to people who needs to hear them most. And if you got a story and you want to share it, make sure you fill out that guest form to come be a guest. And like I always say, no matter what page of healing you're on, you're not alone and you're not behind. Keep going through it, keep growing through it, and keep a glowing through it. And I will see y'all next episode.
I've battled the silence, I've wrestled the shame, faced all my demons and called them by name. This ain't for sure, it's deep.